ಬೀಜರತ್ವಂ ತಸ್ಯ ಚಾನ್ಯ ಅಗಾನಿ ಪೂಯಂತೆ ತಪೋಧಾನವ್ರತಾದಿಭಿ ನ ಅಧರ್ಮಜಂ ತದ್ ಹೃದಯಂ ತದ್ ಅಪಿ ಶಾಂಗ್ರಿ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಬೈ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಮ್ ತಪಸ್ಯ, ಸಮ್ ಪುಣ್ಯ, ಸಮ್ ದಾನ, ಸಮ್ ವ್ರತಸ್, ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ನೋನ್ ಎಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಯಶ್ಚಿತ್ತ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇದಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್. ದ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಾಯಶ್ಚಿತ್ತ. ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಿನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ, ಮೇ ಬಿ ಈ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಎ ಸಿನ್. ಸೊ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸಿನ್ಫುಲ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಫಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್, then he has got some papa sin. So in the Vedas there are so many things recommended. By doing this prayaschitta, this kind of thing, this sin will be counteracted. Now will the sin be counteracted by piety? That is the question. Can punya neutralize papa? Then why it is mentioned here that by performing this prayaschitta, papa will be over? Even the nectar of instruction also starts with these things. No pious activity can neutralize a sinful activity. Now what happens is, when you perform a pious activity in the sense, a mentioned, a specific activity which is counteracting the sin, what happens is, in that, you are supposed to undergo certain suffering. You are supposed to undergo certain suffering, which is actually the result of that sin. But it is designed in such a way, while undergoing the suffering for the sin, while performing the pious activity, you will get some pious credits. You will get some pious credits. For example, you have done a sin by which you have to lose this much of amount of money. Okay? So the prayaschitta will be you do your donation. So you have suffered for the loss of money. At the same time, you get the benefit of charity. You are getting the point? So actually, it is not that you are counteracted. You actually experience the reaction of the sin, which will, by doing so, you will be getting some pious activity. For example, if you don't do the prayaschitta, what will happen? Anyhow, you are supposed to lose that money, but you lose to a thief. You lose to a thief. So you have to experience a sinful reaction. At the same time, what happened? You did not even get the benefit of pious activity, the charity. This is how the prayaschitta is designed, isn't it? Now, if you see, if you have studied the nectar of instruction, in the beginning itself, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami a question. What is the use of prayaschitta? Rishwa, Sudap, Shutabhyam, Jananapi, Kunjara Shauchavat. So, the problem with prayaschitta is, it can definitely neutralize your sin and give you pious credits. But the sinful tendency within the heart, again he does the sin. And again he has to do something. It goes on. But Ishangri Sevaya, by performance of devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna, what happens? The word here which is there says, Na Dharmajam Tad Hridayam. Hridayam means in the heart. What is there in the heart? The sin which is hiding in the heart, even that also gets destroyed. The root, however, is only destroyed with bhakti, because bhakti destroys even that kind of sin. It is only the power of bhakti which destroys the bija. That is why this verse is known as bija haratvam. That is the subject here. Now, avidya. Next one is what? Avidya. So we discuss the avidya, then desire, then papa, and suffering. So suffering, that is destroyed, that we discussed, that is prarabdha. And then we discussed about how the bija, that is the desire, that is destroyed. And ultimately, avidya has been discussed now. Okay? Avidya is destroyed. How avidya is destroyed? Avidya haratvam, what is the verse? Very beautiful verse. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayam gatitum utgrahantyanti santa tadvam narikta smatayo yatopi rudha ruto ganastam varanam bhajavasudevam. So bhajavasudevam ruto ganastam aranam tad bhajavasudevam. So this verse talks about devotees. Bhaja Vasudevam, those who are worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, can easily overcome the knot of material ignorance. So tad vayam nariktas matayo yatho rudastam shoto ganastar ahanam bhaja vasudevam yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. Very beautiful words are used here. Yat pada pankaja. They are those who are worshipping palasa pankaja, itpada pankaja. Itpada pankaja means lotus feet of Krishna. What happens? Karma sayam grantim. Karma sayam grantim. Ignorance is being described as karma sayam granti. Hrudaya granti. Because ignorance is a knot of ignorance. Karma granti. Karma sayam grantim. Grahanantim the santa. Santa. The word is what happens? They destroy. They destroy this thing. That is the power. Rikto munayato yato piruddha. Even though those others are there, those who are others into the jnanis and yogis, they try to do this, but it's impossible for them. So, that is why it is advised that one should worship bhaja vasudevam. One has to aranam bhaja vasudevam. Bhaja means aranam means worship Vasudeva. So even though one may practice yoga system, Sankhya system, so many system, ignorance will not be destroyed. It is only by devotional service ignorance is destroyed. Let us see avidya. How it is destroyed. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he talks about how performance of even sadhana bhakti at the level of nishtha, it can destroy ignorance. For that, there are 5 verses quoted. Famous verses. First canto, second chapter, 17 to 21. Most famous verses. In these 5 verses, the entire Abhidheya is spoken. When Prabhupada was approaching America, he was just seeing the harbor. He wrote a bhajan. In that bhajan, Markine Bhagavata, he quoted these 5 verses. Most of you must be knowing, so we can chant those verses. Shrinvatam Sagata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Nidantasto Yavadrani Vidunoti Suratsatam Nashta Prayesha Vadreshu Utyam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishikim Tatarajastamo Bhava Kamalo Bhadayaschaye Chetaye Tirnavidham Sitam Sadve Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Muktasangasya Jayate Vidyate Hridaye Granthe Chintante Sarasamshaya Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Drishteva Atmanishvare. So these 5 verses are spoken especially those who are practicing devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that these verses spoken by Sutta Goswami gives the progression in destroying avidya, the knot in the heart, in the verse. In the original verse it's mentioned here, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma sayam grantim. Grantim. Even in this, also granti comes. Vidyate hriday granti. How does it happen? Hriday granti, ignorance, how is destroyed? it is destroyed, actually completely destroyed the level of bhava, ignorance. But even at the level of sadhana, and has reached the level of nishtha, this is all Jiva Goswami is explaining. At the level of nishtha, also this ignorance is destroyed. When somebody does devotional activities in nishtha, what is the meaning of nishtha here? We chant this verse every day. Bhaktir bhavati naishtikim. That naishtiki refers to nishtha. In these five verses, all the nine steps are there. All the nine steps are there. While giving a commentary to these five verses, Srila Vaishnavacharya Thakur has mentioned 14 steps. These 14 steps. In the Bhagavatam, these nine steps, which are actually expanded into 14 steps, are mentioned in these five verses. And also in Narada's his own realization. So if you see, read Narada Vyasa Samvad, there you will get this thing. Narada's own realization, when he speaks to Vyasa, his own life. First, what did he do? Sadhu Sangha. Actually, while serving, while doing some seva to the sadhus, he started hearing. Isn't it? That is why Bhagavatam, before this verse, 17th verse, is one more verse. Shushrushavo shaddhadana sivasudev kataruchi. Isn't it? So what happened? Narada was not interested in hearing actually. He was a mother used to work, isn't it? And he used to do what mother used to say, bring that. In this way, shushrushu shaddhadanas, it happened. And gradually he was thinking, hey, what these people are selling? They are talking on the chanting, let me go and sit. So he had some ruchi. Based on that, he had shraddha. Based on that, he had sadhu sangha. And this is based on that, when he is doing, he so liked it so much, he started doing it. Isn't it? Bhajana Kriya. In this way, he explains the entire thing about Narada, his own life. He's talking to Narada, he's talking to Vyasa. So, here, naishtiki, nishtha. What happens is, when you have developed nishtha, the symptom of nishtha is that you do it regularly in spite of all difficulties. That is called nishtha. After nishtha, you have actually one stage called ruchi. What is the difference between nishtha and ruchi? Nishtha and ruchi, yes. Okay, you're somewhat there, but exactly it is like this. You're having a feast, two people are having a feast. One is enjoying the feast. Other is also enjoying the feast, but somebody is poking from behind. But still he is having the feast. It is not that he is not enjoying, but still, because the threefold miseries of material existence are poking him from behind, he is not able to enjoy to the extent the other person is enjoying. But he is not deviating from eating the feast. In spite of being, that is called nishtha. That is the basic difference between nishtha and ruchi. And then there is asati, of course. Asati and ruchi are not too different from each other. Just mention different levels because to show that at that time he has developed attachment to Krishna. And then it leads to bhava. So, till anartha nivritti, it is actually sadhana, bhakti. And after nishtha, ruchi and asakti, these three are a transformational stage from bhava to, sadhana to bhava. To bhava bhakti. Then bhava is there, then bhava to prema. That's another stage, we will not much discuss about it. So, these three stages, what is this? Nishtha, ruchi, asakti, these three are somewhat like an intersection between bhava and sadhana. So, even though a sadhaka, he has not developed the symptoms of bhava, still he can destroy ignorance if he has that nishtha. If he has nishtha. So that is why we always talk about nishtha. And to go further deep into nishtha, what is going deep into nishtha? What is it? How can you say this devotee is nishthavan? He knows He acts according to his knowledge. What is that knowledge? I am servant of Krishna. He knows about Krishna. He knows devotion. And he is acting based on the platform of knowledge. Like for example, somebody gives you a copy of Gita. As soon as you take a copy of Gita or any book, you just take it like this and keep it. You do it. So that is called Nishtha. Now, because he doesn't see that Gita as another book, he actually knows this is non-different from Krishna. It's a simple activity. So when you act on the platform of knowledge, that is actually Nishtha. That is why Nishtha itself is going to destroy your Hridaya Granthi, and it is actually anartha, it is actually destruction of one's ignorance. That is why Avidya Haratvam, that is, this verse is mentioned there for a particular purpose. Now, there is one more verse which talks about Avidya Haratvam from the Padma Purana. Kritanu yatra vidya avidya bir hari bhaktir anuttama avidyam niradyatya su dvajvalena pannagam pannagim. So this verse from the Padma Purana, it talks about how avidya is destroyed by performance of devotional service. The forest fire, it burns up the female snake demons. Supreme devotion of the Lord quickly burns up avidya completely with the knowledge which accompanies bhakti. So, avidya bir hari bhaktir anuttamam. Uttama bhakti, when it is practiced, what happens? Kritanu yatra. Avidyayam nirdhatyasu dva jvaleva pannagim. Pannagim means which has got a hoods and has got snakes as two splitted tongue. Jvalena. Jvala is tongue. Tongue is dala. And dva means two. the tongue, the snake is split into two. So what happens? It is burned because of nirdhatya. It is by the forest fire, it burns them. In the same way, the fire of devotional service burns the ignorance which is there in the heart of a devotee. See, we see knowledge, we think knowledge. Knowledge is actually not vast. It is actually deep. I am servant of Krishna. Is there anything other than this knowledge? That is the only thing which you have to know. But acting on that platform, that is most important. And that comes at the level of Nishtha. Now after that you have next is Shubhatvam, Shubhatvam, Shubhada. First is what? Kleshagni and then Shubhada. So let us see what is the meaning of Shubhada. Shubhada has got how many aspects to it? Anybody knows? You have read? Four aspects to Shubhada. For any activity to be auspicious, it should satisfy four conditions. That is the main thing. So what are the four conditions? So let us read the verse and then see what it is. Shubhadani prinam sarvam jagat tanuraktat shadguna sukamitya adinam akhyatani imam sibhi manishibhi. So these manishis, great people, have told that Shubhada should have these four aspects. What are the four aspects? First is affection for all living beings. It should be attractive, possess good qualities, and it should give happiness. So, affection to all living entities. How do you understand affection to all living entities? How do you know that you have affection for all living entities? When you do something for their benefit, isn't it? So that is why if you see the commentary of Jiva Goswami, he works for the benefit. Sarva jagatam iti sarva jagat karma karmakam prinam tad kartrutva karuna tata cha. Because of his compassion for all the living entities, what he does? He works for the benefit of the entire world. So that is how you can say that he has affection for living entities. Number two, everyone is attracted to him. Because this activity, what he is doing, it should be attractive to everyone. So, anyoho sadgunantar bhaveti pratak ukti sarvotka mata pakshen sarvottamat pekshaya. Now, it should attract everyone. So, what is the meaning of attract everyone? It will be so good that it should be attractive to everyone. So let us see what is that criteria which comes under these four principles. Only devotion can do. That is why in ISKCON we have all kinds of people, isn't it? Right from people from African jungles to the Mongolians and all kinds of people. It's attractive to everyone. Now the third one, it should develop good qualities. What is the meaning of it should develop good qualities? Is the earlier two things not good qualities? Work for the benefit and everyone should be attracted. So though earlier two things are also good qualities, but these two are so good. What is that one? To benefit everyone, to be attracted to everyone. They are so good that they need to be mentioned separately. that is the whole commentary about. So there is a verse which talks about it. Yasya prasanno bhagavan guner matir maitradi vir harihi tasmai namanti bhutani nimnan ap iva swayam. This is Bhagavatam 4th canto 9th chapter 47th verse. So, on to one who has transcendental qualities due to friendly behavior of Supreme Personality of God, all living entities offer honor, just as water automatically flows down by nature. So, going further, it should bring happiness. The fourth point is what? It should bring happiness for everyone. So, then only it can be called Shubhada. And the only thing which can fit into Shubhada is devotion, because it benefits everyone, number one. Number two, it attracts everyone, it brings good qualities in everyone, and it gives happiness to everyone. And our movement is a very good proof for all these things. Very good proof, isn't it? Working for the other's benefit, it should benefit. You know, so many people were benefited by this. That is why people dedicate us. Sometimes I always wonder why people work for us free of cost. What kind of benefit they got? It's very difficult to calculate what benefit we got. But if you see from one point of view, what benefit you got? Very difficult to tell, but you got it. Generally, somebody works for some company, they get some benefits, isn't it? Some salary they get, some increment they get. You're working, what you're getting, tell me. Number two is attracts. Anybody comes, attracts. And now even those who are antagonistic, they also get attracted. We say how? They cannot just be peaceful without thinking about this. They cannot be peaceful. They have to do something to do with us, even though antagonistically. They cannot neglect us. Once devotees were doing kirtan, they were having this dhoti, kurta and then saris dressed in Prabhupada. Then somebody, newspaper person asked, Swamiji, why you people wear these these kind of dresses. Then what did Prabhupada say? Just to attract people. Just to attract people. He did not say, you know, it is a sattvic, sattvaguna and all. What is he going to understand? Because for them it is a strange dress, isn't it? So he told just to attract people. Even from that dress, our activities, we become very attractive. And after that you have the third one, it developed definitely good qualities. Srila Prabhupada used to take great pride that I made these hippies into happies. I made them give up alcohol. The entire American government got fed up with trying to get the rehabilitation done for the degenerates. But these people, they come and join our temples and they leave drugs, everything. So how is it possible? This is the power of devotion. Of course, brings happiness. These are the qualities. That is why it is Shubha. Now, certain things are spoken. Among these four, only few things are there, like Sadgunadi Pradatvam and Sukha Pradatvam. These two are spoken and then goes to Moksha Guru. Because the other two, the first two, also are good qualities only. That is why only two are spoken here. What is it? Sadgunadi Pradatvam, which includes the first three. And the 30th and 31st verse talks about Sukha Pradatvam. You got it? Working for benefit and all this thing, that is not spoken, separately mentioned. Okay? See, very famous verse, 29th. That is, Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarveir Gunesh Tatra Samasate Sura Tasya Kuto Mahat Gunam Manorati Nasati Bahi. Sadgunadi Pradatvam has been added to indicate the devotee's ability to control the suras. So it's a very powerful statement here. Sadgunadi Sadgunadjiti Atradi Shabdha Grahanat Sarva Sarva Vaishikari Tvopa Lakshataha Suraha Vaishikari Kritam Grihyate. Means Vashi, Vashikara. Vashikara means you bring under control. Sura means the demigods. So the demigods, they are having good qualities. That is why they are demigods, they are mode of goodness. So the devotion is so powerful that by performance of devotion, all the demigods come under the control of the devotee. Sadgunadi Pradatvam Mityatra Sadgunadi Vashikarya Tram Iti Artaha. So what is the meaning of Sadgunadi Pradatvam? Devotion bestows all the good qualities. It means that Bhakti puts at command of all the devotees, all good qualities, the Lord and others as well. Bhakti is so powerful that even the Lord, he also comes under the control. Here the word Suraha refers to Supreme Lord and others. That is, first the Lord and then his attendants, the devatas, the rishis. Samasate means they remain under control. So this is how Jiva Goswami explained that Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kincha. Kinchana Bhaktir Uttama Bhakti. When somebody performs, what happens? Sarveir Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura. Samasate means control. He gets those wonderful qualities by which even the Supreme Lord, in the Devatas, in the Rishis, they all come under control. Because it is not that devotion gives you some divine qualities. The devotion to Krishna is such a divine quality that even Krishna comes under control. What to speak of any other thing? That is what is spoken here. Now going further. Sukha Pradatvam. Sukha. Devotion gives you Sukha Pradatvam. Because it should give happiness. Now if you see, in the six qualities of bhakti, there are three happinesses. Three happiness. What are the three? Happiness, material, and ultimately is the Sangrananda Visheshatma. Sangrananda Visheshatma. The first one is Kleshagni or Shubhada. Either of the things can be taken. If you take Kleshagni as happiness, Kleshagni is also another happiness, isn't it? Non-suffering is also one kind of happiness. Non-suffering is also one kind of happiness. And in the second stage, that is Bhava Bhakti, you have two. That is Sudurlabha and Moksha Lagutakrit. The Moksha Lagutakrit, it makes even Moksha. Moksha means liberation. Insignificant. The happiness you get from devotion, Bhava, is so much that it makes liberation also insignificant. The third level is the happiness you get in taking part in the pastimes of Krishna, or the pastimes of Krishna manifesting within your heart, which is filled with love. So these are the three levels of happiness which are mentioned in these six things. Now, here was it. Sukha Pradattvam. Let us see the verse. Siddhaya paramascharya bhuktir muktischa shashvati nityam cha paramanando bhaved govinda bhaktitaha. So, mystic powers, material enjoyment, eternal happiness in the realization of Brahman and the eternal bliss in the service of the Lord all appeared from bhakti to Govinda. So, whatever happiness you find, that is all from Krishna only. Even material happiness. You know why people enjoy? Because it is Krishna's energy. That is why you are able to enjoy. Because Krishna is all happiness. That is why any creation, even material happiness, for example, you are eating something. You are finding some happiness in that. Why it is coming? Because it is coming from Krishna. But the point is, we may say, why are you against it then? We are not against it, we are against your foolishness of being satisfied with that. that is the thing. Like for example, you are supposed to get 100 out of 100 and you got only 35. Though you have passed, but it is suffering, isn't it? So material happiness is like that. Material happiness is happiness because Krishna's. But we say it's suffering because when compared to what you are longing for, it is insignificant. Okay. Now, go further. Next verse. Bhuyopiyache devasya tvai bhaktir drastume ya mokshanta chaturvargas parada sukada iratha. So, Lord of the Devas, I again pray to you that I may have firm devotion to you. That bhakti is a creeper which bestows artha, dharma, kama, moksha and also the happiness of realization of the Lord. So, bhakti gives all kinds of happiness. That's for sure. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, Krishna talks about this thing. When you do yajna, three things happen. You get purified, you enjoy, you go back home, back to Godhead. You have that for Bhagavad Gita, just see, last 37th verse or something like 36, 38 or something. 38 or something like that. 38? I'm not going to get the first word. Yanti Brahma Sanatanam, last line. Yeah. 438, open it. So what is this? One who does yajna, what happens? Kalmashaha. We get the kalmashaha. Purification. Next, bujo means what? Bujo means enjoy. He enjoys. Ignashishtamrita bujo. And last one is Yanti Brahma Sanatana. So that is the way to enjoy this world. And what to speak of Bhagavad-gita. Upanishads talk about enjoyment. What is the first mantra of Isha-upanishad? Isha-vashyamidam sarvam yatkinchit jagatyam tena tektena. Tyaga is there. Next immediate word is? So you enjoy being renounced. That's what is the word. Tektena bunjahitam. So when you are Krishna conscious, renunciation and enjoyment both are harmonized. You cannot call a Krishna conscious person as an enjoyer. Neither you can call him as a renunciate. Because he does both. He does both. Why? Because he knows that everything belongs to Krishna. He is a renouncer. He knows everything belongs to Krishna. That is why he is using in Krishna's service. So he is a enjoyer. Isn't it? So you cannot say that a devotee is a renunciate. You cannot say a devotee is an enjoyer. He is actually both, or he is neither. That is why Isha-upanishad is a very important Upanishad, because it is the only Upanishad which spoke about bhoga and tyaga as one. Actually, only devotees can enjoy. It's fact. The so-called materialistic people, neither there is material enjoyment nor spiritual enjoyment. They are neither material nor spiritual. When you practice Krishna consciousness, then only you can become material and spiritual. I ask sometimes people, do you really having material enjoyment? Maximum to maximum, they can have material suffering. Material enjoyment, if at all can be done, it can be only done by a devotee, because he follows the rules of matter. The so-called materialistic people these days, they don't follow the rules of matter. For example, you need to enjoy an ice cream. There is a particular rule to do this, isn't it? You just cannot take the ice cream and put it in your mouth and start chewing it. So the materialistic people, out of lust and greed, they forget that there is a rule by which you can enjoy matter. They forget the rules of enjoyment of matter. Forget about spiritual rules and all. And a devotee, he knows matter is coming from Krishna. So he knows the rules of Krishna apply to matter also. That is why he deals with matter in a proper way. In this way, the matter gives you whatever it can give to you. But materialist people, they just cannot do that. Going further. Next. After Sukha Pradatvam, then we'll go to Moksha Lagutakrit. That is two symptoms of sadhana bhakti are over. Moksha Sudurlabha, Kleshagni and Shubhada. And in Kleshagni, we have Aprarabdharatvam, Prarabdharatvam, Bijaharatvam, and Avidya. 4 points are spoken. And in Shubhada has got 4, but only 2 are spoken. Why? Because more or less the same. What is it? Good qualities. Other one is happiness. 2 things are spoken. Now we'll go to Moksha Lagutakrit. That is, moksha means liberation also becomes lagu. Lagu means very light. Mana keva pradur dhyanam ridye bhagavatyaruto purushartastu jatvaras tantrayante samantata. Bhakti causes total disregard to liberation. When even a little attraction of the Lord grows in the heart, the 4 objects, human attainment, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, becomes like grass. Shameful to appear before bhakti. It becomes truna. Trunayante samantata. Becomes shameful. Trunayante, like grass. Touch me not. Maybe that must be. Just go ahead. It becomes shameful. Don't touch me. So that kind of thing, it becomes this liberation, this moksha. Mukti, Mukutadanlisyat, Sevatesma, and also Virajjamanaha. The word Virajjamana has been used in the Bhagavatam. This word comes. Maya, she is waiting outside. And she doesn't want to come in front of the Lord. And the same way, she doesn't want to come in front of devotees. She is very ashamed. Very ashamed. Why? Because she is keeping everybody bound. And everybody is asking, please release me, please release me. But this devotee is not even caring for her. No devotee goes and asks, oh, please give me liberation. Because he is not bothered about it. Because liberation gives some enjoyment. But the devotion, even little bit of fragrance, an experience of bhava, then it takes you beyond liberation. The famous verse should be memorized always. That is, Atma Ramastamanayo Nirgrantak Vrukkaya Kurvanti Hetukam Bhakti Mittam Bhutagano Hari. Next. Moksha Laguta Kritta. So, Dharmartha Kama Moksha becomes very insignificant. Next, even Pancharatra talks about it. Let us see what Narada Pancharatra says. Hari Bhakti Mahadevya Sarva Mukhyadi Siddhaya Bhaktya Chadbhutastasya Cheti Kavya Anuvartata. All the Siddhis headed by liberation and all astonishing material pleasures follow after the great goddess called Hari Bhakti, like fearful maid servants. Hari Bhakti Mahadevya Devya. Hari Bhakti Mahadevi, she is compared to a goddess. What happens? Sarva Mukti Adi Siddhaya. All Mukti and all Siddhis. What happens? Bhukti, even material enjoyment. What happens? Chadbhutas. They are all very great Adbhutas. What happens? Chet Avyat Anuvartata. Anuvartata means they follow. They follow her. Please look at me, please. Bhakti doesn't even look at them. Next. Sudurlabha, this is the second quality of Sudurlabha. Let us see what is Sudurlabha. Satnanugair anu anasangair alabhya suchirat api harina chasvadyeti vidha sasya Sudurlabha. Bhakti is difficult to attain in two ways. It is undertaken in great quantity, but without attachment. Bhakti cannot be attained even after a long time. And even if practiced with attachment, Krishna does not give bhakti to the practitioner immediately. Very famous statement, you know, that when he muktim dadami karhi chit nacha bhakti yogam. Why Krishna doesn't give bhakti? Yeah, yeah. You know, if I give him, then I have to become a servant now. So, you do, I will not give bhakti. Mukti you want to take. Bhakti doesn't give. But what bhakti is being spoken here is a bhava. It's a very rare thing. Out of many sadhakas, that is why this verse is spoken there. Krishna bhakti, Krishna, rasabhavita mati, kriyatam idu kutopi labhyate, tatra laulya mulya mekalam janma koti sukrute labhyate. So this verse, Sukruti, can be used for as a substitute of sadhana. Janma koti sukruteir means crores and crores of sadhana bhakti you go on doing. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita, bhava bhakti will not get. Only those sadhakas who has added one spice into their sadhana, what is that? Greed. When you have added that spice of greed in your sadhana, then bhava is attained. Otherwise, going on doing sadhana, you will not be attained. You will not attain it. So, this is the thing which is a very important thing for all the sadhakas to know. The extensive greed to hear and chant the names of the Lord. That is the only mulya. Mulya means the price by which sadhana bhakti becomes bhava bhakti. So because this section is about bhava bhakti, these two things, sudurlabha, that attachment for him Krishna doesn't give. He'll say, okay, go on doing sadhana, but I'll not give that attachment to you. So, because sadhana has got two parts in it. One is what? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and the other one is raganuga sadhana bhakti. So, even if suppose somebody practices vaidhi sadhana, that is where the definition goes like that. Bhakti is very difficult to attain in two ways. If undertaken in great quantity, but without attachment, what is it called? Vaidhi sadhana. Bhakti cannot be attained even after a long time. Bhakti cannot be attained even after long time. But you may say raganuga bhakti will do. So then you start doing raganuga bhakti, what happens? Even if it's practiced with attachment, that means raganuga, Krishna does not give bhakti to the practitioner immediately after a long time he gives. So that is why this verse says sadhananugair anasangair. Anasangair means what? Without any attachment. Sadhananuga. You just go on doing sadhana. Alabhya suchirad api. Suchirad means what? Suchirad. Long time. Very long time. Api. Even though doing for long time, not yet. Now, harina cha swadyeti. Even though if you practice it, harina, you have attachment. Vidha means two times. Even though you do it in two ways, vidha. Sasyata sudurlabha. Sasyat means it is sudurlabha. So, there is twofold rarity. That means difficult to attain in the two ways, whether it is. Now, go further. Later verse says, Jnanataha sulabha muktir. Bhuktir yajnadi punyataha seyam sadhana shasrasir harir bhakti sudurlabha. The first type of rarity, no, the practice, sadhana bhakti without attachment, that is sadhana, vedi sadhana bhakti, is illustrated in one of the tantras. Liberation is easily attained by jnanis, and material enjoyment is attained by punya of such a sacrifice. After attaining dedication to those goals by thousands of attempts, however, bhava bhakti to the Lord cannot be attained if one practices thousands of different sadhanas. The asakti will not appear. Okay? So, there's a long commentary to this particular purport. Why is it so? Why is it so? I'll just give a glimpse of it. Long commentary is there. So just a small glimpse of this. Jnana and sacrifice. Somebody may say, you should do a lot of sacrifices, you should do study a lot of jnana, impersonal jnana for reading attachment. No, you will not get. You may get liberation. You may get enjoyment, but it is not, devotion will not get. So, sadhana sahasrehi. Such an interpretation is necessary in order to avoid the contradiction in the meaning of the verse. The phrase sadhana sahasre becomes meaningless otherwise. The meaning therefore is jnana and karma easily give liberation and enjoyment after attaining dedication to thousands of practices. It is understood that if attachment means one point concentration on the process alone, then such exclusive concentration on the process of jnana and karma will not easily attain in those processes but only after thousands of practices. Thousands of years of practice. The essence of the entire purport of Jiva Goswami is that one may get the result of jnana and karma very easily, but not bhakti. That is the nature of bhakti. He doesn't give it. Now, dvitiya. Bhava. See, bhava bhakti to attain, it can only be attained by the mercy of Krishna. Sadhana, there the percentage of your endeavor is more and Krishna's mercy is less. But to get bhava, your endeavor is less and Krishna's mercy is more. So we can say you do sadhana, but we cannot say you do bhava. What is this do bhava bhakti? There is nothing like do bhava bhakti. Isn't it? So Krishna doesn't give it. It's not so easy. One from Krishna's side, he doesn't give because of, you just not told, because he has to become a servant of him. Krishna becomes indebted to the devotee. Because this is personal property. It's private personal property. Bhakti Devi. So, Bhava Bhakti is a very rare thing. Sudurlabha. Not only it is Durlabha, it is Sudurlabha. Very rare. Go to the next one. Dvitiya, yatha panchamaskandhe, in the fifth canto it is described. Rajan patir kunne guru. This is a big verse, no? Rajan patir guru ralam bhagavatam yadunam daivam priyakula patir kvachakinkaroya. Asvaiva mangavajatam bhagavan mukundo muktim dadati karichit smacha bhakti yogam. We just now quoted this verse. Muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam. My dear king, the supreme person Mukunda is actually the maintainer of all members of the Pandavas and the Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipful deity, friend and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as messenger or servants. This means that he has worked just as ordinary servant do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not give bhava bhakti at all times. Karhichit nacha bhakti yogam. That Lord gives bhakti sometimes. Karhichit means sometimes he gives, not all the times. He does not give all the time. Sometimes he gives. It is not that he doesn't give bhakti yoga at all, bhava bhakti at all. He gives sometimes. Therefore, the actual meaning here, even though one executes sadhana bhakti with attachment, until the time that one produces intense asakti in that bhakti, the Lord does not give bhava bhakti. It is characterized by the phrase anyabhilashita shunyam. That bhakti should be completely devoid of any other desires. So even if you see the commentary of Jiva Goswami, this is what is mentioned, this particular point. That is tatevacha lakshitam. What is being indicated here? Anyabhilashita shunyam. Tvam nadadati artaha. He will not give bhava bhakti. So this is a very important why we discuss bhava bhakti is just because we are sadhaka, and by sadhana we are supposed to get bhava. So if the goal is not fixed while doing sadhana, then already it's very difficult and Krishna is reluctant to give. Now if your goals are also not fixed on bhava, then it's very difficult. That is why at least focus, I want it. When an intense greed is there that I want it, then Krishna will give. To indicate, there's a nice pastime of Prabhupada. Once Prabhupada was in a park. In the park there are some lakes. And here, one devotee had a popcorn pocket and Prabhupada was eating them. He saw some ducks there. Then Prabhupada was giving the popcorns to the duck one. And the ducks were eating. And some popcorns were left. All of a sudden, he just threw the entire thing to one duck which was there. And the devotee asked Prabhupada that, why you give so many to that duck, not to these things? And Prabhupada, because that was croaking the most. That's crocking the most. That it was so greedy. I saw that he was so greedy. Okay, I'll give it to him. Others were also there. They were also crocking. But when he saw it was crocking the most, he gave. Check. So, intense greed. That's an important point here. Now going, Sangrananda Visheshatma. This is the happiness at the level of prema. What is the line here? Brahmanando bhavet esha chet parardha gunikrita naiti bhakte sukham bodhe paramanu tulyamapi. Now bhakti is compared to a special condensed bliss, condensed Sangrananda Visheshatma. Sangrananda Visheshatma, you heard about Narayaniyam, anybody? Narayaniyam, there's one book called Narayaniyam. It is the Keralite's Bhagavatam. You heard about it. It's Keralite. Anybody is Keralite here? You're a Keralite. Okay. So the first verse is this. It starts with description of Krishna. Krishna has been described as Sangranandavabhudatmakam manugamidam kaladeshavidyam nirmuktam nityamukkam nityamuktam nigamashatashasahastre nirbhashyamanam aspashtam drishtamatre puraru purushardatmakam brahmatuttam tattavadbhadi sakshad gurupavanapure antabhagyam janana. This is the first verse. So, in that you will find Sangranandavabhudatmakam. That means, Krishna is being introduced in that book as a condensed form of bliss. Ananda, you do Sangra, means you put at one place. All the bliss in the world put at one place, that is Krishna. So, it is also Sangrananda Visheshatma. So, he is speciality. The bliss of Brahman realization accumulated by samadhi lasting for a half a life, Brahman's life, cannot be compared to one drop of ocean of happiness of bhakti. So what is this bhakti? Talking about which bhakti is it? Prema bhakti. The level of prema bhakti, the happiness, any happiness, when Brahmananda itself is just like a drop of ocean, they want to speak of mental happiness. So in this way, this is described. Let us go further. Yata hari bhakti sudodhaye. So there in that tat sakshat karamada karanalhada vishuddhabdi sitasyame sukhani goshpadan ante brahmanyapi jagadguru. O Guru of the universe, on seeing you directly, I am situated in pure ocean of bliss. All the happiness of impersonal Brahman is as insignificant as the water in the hoof print of a cow. So another example is given that how the word Brahmani does not refer to Lord Brahma, but it refers to Brahman realization. Comparison between bliss from realizing the Supreme Lord and bliss from realizing impersonal Brahman is a famous work. Srimad Bhagavatam also talks about it. Tasya ravinda nayana syavada ravindu kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayu antargata savishurena chakara tesham sankhyabhitam maskara jasham apichitta tanyo. When the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of the sages, they experienced a change both in body and mind, even though they were attracted to impersonal Brahman understanding. Who are these? The four Kumaras. So whole Bhagavatam is actually this thing. Though they were engrossed in impersonal Brahman, Sukadeva Goswami and four Kumaras, two examples. One because of Bhagavata, Granth Bhagavata, other is because of Bhakta Bhagavata. Tulasi is Bhakta Bhagavata. By their mercy, they got changed. And Sukadeva Goswami heard what? Granth Bhagavata. So in this way, further. Tata, again, there are more references given it here. Tata Bhavartha Deepikyam Cha. Bhavartha Deepika. is commentary by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami himself writes this verse. Also in this Bhavartha Devika it is said that some fortunate people, let us reread the verse. Tvatkatam vritapatodau virhanto mahamudau gurvanti kinkara cheti chaturvargyam tripon pannam pannam trito trino pannam. Some fortunate people play in the sweet ocean of your topics and enjoy the great bliss. They consider the happiness from artha, dharma, kama and moksha to be insignificant as grass. Again, grass came. Trina. Trinopama. Trinopama. Trina means grass. Okay, now last point of this chapter. That is Krishna Karshani. It attracts Krishna. It is good also at the same time problem for us. Why it's problem for us? Because bhakti attracts Krishna. Krishna doesn't want to give it to us. But one of the qualities of bhakti, what is it? Krishna Karshani. Kritva harim prema bhajam priyavarga samanmitam bhakti vaishkarotiti Sri Krishna Karshani mata. So, bhakti attracts Krishna and his associates. Bhakti is called Krishna Krishni because it makes the Lord addicted to prema and brings him under control along with his associates. Pritva harim prema bhajam priya varga samanvitam. Along with priya varga samanvitam, along with the associates of Krishna, what happens? Bhaktir vashi karoti ti. Bhaktir vashi karoti means bhakti brings under control. Whom? Krishna and his Parshad, both. Now, Ekadashandir, in the 11th canto, it is described. Na sadhyayati mam yogo, na sankyam dharma uddhava, na svadhyayas tapatyago, yata bhaktir mamorjita. So, Krishna is talking about this prema bhakti here. It's a very famous verse. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service in the form of prema bhakti rendered to me by my devotees bring me under their control. Those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerities or renunciation cannot thus control me to the extent, to this extent. So as much as other things can control Krishna, actually, Krishna is not controlled by anything, only by devotion. So only by devotion, Krishna is telling Uddhava. Though, one may conclude that the bhakti mentioned here is sadhana by comparing it with other processes of Sankhya. It cannot be an example of sadhana. Because sadhana bhakti doesn't bring Krishna under control. Because of the statement in the 41st, Krishna is brought under control only by sadhya bhakti. That's the meaning of bhakti. After producing sadhya bhakti, controls me. So because he says, mamorjita, it controls me, that can be only referring to prema bhakti. Now, go further. 43rd. We are coming to the end. Now, in Saptama Skanda, Narada speaks about it. Narada says, Uyam Riloke Bhataburi Bhaga Lokam Puman Munayo Bhiyanti Esham Riram Nasasthi Sakshat Gudam Param Brahma Munashalingam. My dear Yudhishthir Maharaj, all of you are extremely fortunate. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna lives in your palace just a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well and therefore they constantly visit your house. So, actually this prasanga where Narada is telling Yudhishthir is, when Yudhishthir Maharaj heard entire Prahlad's story, he became dejected. You just see how great is Prahlad, how fortunate is he, isn't it? Very natural, sometimes you find devotee performing more devotion, he is getting more mercy, he feels rejected. Oh, just imagine how fortunate he is. Then to Narada, to encourage Yudhishthira, he says, why are you getting rejected? See, even great rishis, they are also very difficult to find Krishna. All these rishis, they come to your house. You know why? So that they can get the mercy of Krishna. They can get the glance of Krishna. Even Prahlad, what happened is, Lord appeared in his palace, but not as a relative. He appeared from the pillar, isn't it? But for you, the Lord has appeared as a relative, and he's staying in your house like your friend. And all the great rishis, people, they are coming to your house to see Krishna. Just see your fortune, you have him next to your room, brother. Isn't it? He's walking in your palace. And whenever you call, he comes. Isn't it? People are going to see Krishna. Krishna is coming to meet you. What else is more glory? Isn't it? She's encouraging, giving some encouraging words to this chair. Narada is speaking. What to speak of others? Even I. Isn't it? Even I have to do so many things to have darshan of Krishna. So, and this Lord, Manushalingam, like ordinary human being, he is there, Charati, he's there in your house. So, that is the power of prema, that it makes the Lord come under the control of the devotee. Next, 44.
अग्रतो वक्ष्यमानाय श्रिदा भक्तेर अनुक्रमात् महात्म्यम प्रतिकीर्तितम्. Three types of bhakti will be explained later, one after the other. The greatness of bhakti is uniquely glorified by the six qualities just mentioned. Two qualities appearing in each type. Says, two qualities. Tridha bhakter anukramat. Disha sadbihi padeir etan. So, successively two qualities are there. Disha means the pairs of six qualities, starting with kleshagni, successively glorifies bhakti, three bhaktis. The prefix parikirtitam means uniquely glorified. And the first two qualities belong to sadhana bhakti. What are the first two? Shubhada. Four qualities, first four qualities means two plus two. Do belong to what? Bhava bhakti, that is moksha lagata krit and sudurlabha. All six qualities are in prema bhakti. Sangran visheshash point, Sri Krishna. Okay, very good. So, 45th verse.
Svalpapi ruchir eva syat bhakti tattvava bodhika yuktaistu kevala aniva yadasya paristata. Furthermore, it should be stated, even if one has little taste for the topic of bhakti, he can understand it. Okay? So don't think I cannot understand. You can understand if you have a little good taste. He who tries to understand bhakti by dry logic cannot understand it, because dry logic is insubstantial. So, because he has done so much of glorification of bhakti, actually in two sections. One is defining bhakti, other is characteristics of bhakti. After that, he is saying that even though if somebody has little bit taste, some ruchi, because his bhakti has been described as a rasa shastra now, rasa grantha, bhakti rasamrita. So, if you have taste, you can understand. If you give a mathematician a novel, what will he do? He will not understand it. Because mathematics means it always goes by logic. He always thinks logical. Because he thinks, hey, how much, what, when, all these things come into picture. Because even he just cannot understand the mundane, even the mundane dasa scriptures. In the same way, if you have taste, if you have rasa in you, then you can understand bhakti, what is being described here. Ruchi or taste in the verse means a taste for scriptures such as Bhagavatam that presents the true nature of bhakti. What is the meaning of taste? Because this verse says, Svalpapi ruchir eva. We should know what is the meaning of ruchi. Even if somebody has a taste to read Bhagavatam, then he can understand the taste of bhakti, nature of bhakti. This taste arises through previous impressions that ruchi let one understand the nature of bhakti. The highest position of bhakti, bhakti tattva
avabodhika. As equivalent expression, an equivalent expression would be shraddha apayati, shraddha apayati. Ruchi produce faith in the person in the supreme position of bhakti. Logic, yukti, which is dry, kevala, without ruchi, cannot give an understanding of bhakti. However, logic alone, with full taste for the topic of bhakti, can give an understanding of it. So, as in the beginning of Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, if you remember, I told this thing. Vedanta is logic, emotion. So, this Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, which has got Vedanta and so that is why he says that logic along with full taste for the topic of bhakti can give an understanding of it. The same meaning of yukti should be applied in the later statement, shastre yuktau charirupana. The uttamadhikari is endowed with the skill of scriptural knowledge and logic with taste. Logic with taste. So, it's a little bit mystical literature, this one. Because you require logic also, at the same time require the taste of towards scriptures like Bhagavatam. Then it is very easy to understand. That is why tatra prachiner apyuktam, it is spoken in very what is spoken. Concerning this topic, it is said in ancient Vaishnava thought, a person more skilled at logic can bring about a conclusion different from what was carefully proven previously by another skilled logician. it is generally, no? Muni, the definition of Nasava Muni Matam Navinnam. You cannot call a person as Muni until they speak something so different. But this Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu is not like that. This first shows the insubstantial nature of logic. The ancient mentioned above refer to the commentators who agree with the statements, tato pratishthanat, logic being insubstantial cannot prove the opposite. So, in this way, one may be skillful at logic, but that person cannot enter into bhakti scriptures. So, we have a very overview, nice understanding of what has been there in the first chapter. Now, we go to the second wave. Second wave starts with what? Sadhana bhakti. So, second wave concerning sadhana bhakti. It's not there. You have a verse, at least first one. Outline of sadhana bhakti. Now go to the next one. Go on. This one. 1-2-1 means first eastern part, that is first wave, first part, second wave, first verse. Sa bhakti hi sadhanam bhavaha premna cheti tidho. Three kinds. What are they? Sadhana, bhava and prema. So now there is a big discussion going on now, here. The whole discussion goes on, why three, not two? Because we have heard only two, till now. When you see Jiva Goswami's definition of bhakti, when he talked about Shilanam, he spoke about two things. One is known as Cheshta, other is Bhava, Cheshta Rupa, Bhava Rupa. And we always heard about sadhana and sadhya. You do sadhana by sadhya, isn't it? The means and the goal, isn't it? So,
Srila Jiva Goswami, while commenting on this particular statement of Rupa Goswami that there are three, Jiva Goswami says, don't go for three, just two are enough. For a clear understanding. For a clear understanding of the subject, what he says? Just two are enough. We don't go for three. Because if you go for three, then you will be confused. Already you have so much of confusion is there. So I want to simplify it for the purpose of simplification, for the purpose of clear understanding. Jiva Goswami says, let there be only two divisions. What are they? Sadhana and sadhya. Let us have sadhana and sadhya, only two things. So in this chapter, the characteristics and the type of sadhana bhakti will be explained. Two things, two aspects of sadhana bhakti. What are they? Characteristics and type. We'll explain. The second type is sadhya bhakti called hardha rupa. Hardha rupa means something which comes out of the heart. Rupa will be explained later. Will be is the bhakti in which the influence of the heart, the emotion of the atma becomes prominent. The word bhakti is used to describe this type also. Because the terminology is used in Bhagavatam, bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya. Vibharti utpulakantanum. Bhaktya sanjayate. Bhakti comes from bhakti, isn't it? So even hardha bhakti or bhava bhakti, bhava and prema put together, because brava and prema is put together, that comes from where? Sadhana. So bhakti comes from bhakti. So both are termed as bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is also bhakti and hardha bhakti is also bhakti. Okay. So they possess the bodies agitated by ecstasies caused by sadhya, bhava, bhakti produced from sadhana bhakti. Sadhya rupa or hardha rupa bhakti has five types. We know we are five things called bhava, prema, pranaya, sneha and raga. And three more are added to it from Ujjal Nilamani. What are they? Mana, anuraga and mahabhava. So total eight are there, isn't it? So these eight are categorized into bhava and prema by Rupa Goswami. Thus, two types mentioned, namely bhava and prema, are only representatives of these eight. Very clear, isn't it? You have eight things. In the eight things, they are represented by bhava and prema. The other types are not mentioned in this categorization of bhakti into three types, because at the end of the fourth wave of the eastern section dealing with prema bhakti, it will be said. What is said? There is rarity of prema among those who have practiced sadhana bhakti, because it is of its playful nature. Thus, sneha and other types of sadhya bhakti have not been analyzed or discussed at this point. So one of the reasons why Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami says we will not take about bhava and prema separately, because they are not discussed just yet. So we will keep those two in one category. Bhava and prema in one category, and call them as what? Sadhya or hardha. So we'll tell them like that. So he's giving a commentary, so he's trying to simplify things. Because we have only heard there is a process and there is a goal. Sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana and prayojana. Isn't it? That is what we have heard. Where did bhava bhakti come from? Isn't it? So then, Vishwanatha Thakur disagrees. He says, no, Rupa Goswami has told three. So we should also talk about three. Don't try to go against what Acharya has told. But Jiva Goswami told this to us because yet to be discussed, and we don't want to complicate it now. First, let us talk about sadhana, then we'll see later on for that purpose. But Vishnu says, no, from now only you should understand there are three. Let us see. Vishnu Thakur, he says, let there be only two types, bhakti, sadhana and sadhya. Bhava should be included in sadhya bhakti. Why is it necessary to have three types? Somebody may ask a question like that. He says, my answer is as follows. I'll tell you my answer, why it is so. Then he quotes a verse. Later it will be said.
from he brings from the second division. He says, those are called practitioners, sadhakas, who have developed rati for Krishna and are qualified to see Krishna directly, but who have not completely extinguished their arthas. So there is a situation where there are some people who can experience Krishna within their heart. And not only that, they have developed love for Krishna also. But Vishnu and Jagdagurus bring the problem of anarthas. Anarthas have not gone. So that situation where they have developed an affection for Krishna and also they are able to perceive Krishna within their heart, but anarthas have not gone completely. That situation is not prema. Right? Because the level of prema, no, anartha should be there. Neither you can put that situation as sadhana, because they are actually having emotions for Krishna. So it cannot be called sadhana. So it is something in between. Na gharka, na ghatka, something like that. Somewhere in Trishanku, bhava. Somewhere in between. An example is, you see, bhava, stage, he had reached our Bharat Maharaj. Isn't it? But the tendency was there. Anarthas were there. All their anarthas are not completely satisfied. That not destroyed. Like we say, anartha nivritti. What is that anartha nivritti? Only the gross levels of anarthas they are destroyed, but the residents, the residues are there. When we do offenses, especially the Vaishnava aparad, that continues even after anartha nivritti and continues even till bhava. Seva aparads, they are completely destroyed at the level of bhava. But at the level of bhava, the offenses done to Vaishnavas, they still continue to exist within the core of the heart. So that is why Śrīla Vishwanātha Thakura brings this point of anartha. In spite of the fact that bhava or rati has appeared, utpannatayaha, because in this verse it is utpannatayaha, the obstacles have not gone completely, are not completely dissipated. Obstacles are not gone, they are still there. Such persons are therefore called sadhaka. So this refers to bhava bhaktas, because as much as sadhana bhakti leads to bhava bhakti, bhava bhakti leads to prema bhakti. So for prema bhakti, what is sadhana? That is why it is referring to them as sadhaka. Not having extinguished all obstacles, samyan nairvignam anupagataha. That is how he has described. Means that there still remains a trace of some serious aparadhas, because the effect of aparadhas are very strong and long lasting. In this condition, with even a trace of aparadha that generates suffering, sadhya bhakti cannot appear. The qualities of siddha bhakti, who has sadhya bhakti, are described as follows. So now you have another word which has been used by Dishanu. He says there is sadhana, there is sadhya, and there is siddha. So that is why there are three should be there, not just sadhana and sadhya. Three is very much required. Those who experience no suffering at all, who perform all actions while taking shelter of Krishna, who always taste the happiness of continuous prema, are known as perfected devotees. Perfected devotees. That is siddha, siddha bhaktas. Therefore, bhava bhakti cannot be included in sadhya bhakti. However, by no means it can be included in thana bhakti. Because in this section, which defines sadhana bhakti, the goal of sadhana is bhava. Then how can you put bhava as sadhana? And neither you can put the bhava in prema, because it is still the devotee has anarthas. Therefore, it cannot be included in sadhana bhakti, since the goal is bhava bhakti, is not to produce bhava. Thus, it should be considered proper to classify bhakti into three types, not two. Two acharyas telling two different things. But you should understand that there is no difference. Jiva Goswami is like a, you know, a good teacher. He wants to, we'll talk about these two later and put them into one class now. Because if you bring the concept of aparadha now, then it will be again confusion, isn't it? Krishna Chakrabarti said, no. You should learn from now only. Because if you know that even these aparadhas are so dangerous, it is not just a sadhara, even at the level of bhava, they may get you back, isn't it? So be very careful. Now comes the definition of sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana vidha. Nityasiddhasya bhavasya prakatyam vidhi sadhyata. So, sadhana bhakti means this. 24 hours when somebody practices this verse. What is this? Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana vidha. Nityasiddhasya bhavasya prakatyam vidhi sadhyata. Number one, kriti means it should be done by the senses. Number two, and then it should produce bhava. This is the second aspect. These are the two important aspects of bhava. Something done by the senses which produces bhava with the purpose of, with the intention of accomplishing bhava. This attained state of bhava bhakti is an eternal sthayi bhava which is not created but simply manifests within the soul by the spiritual energy of the Lord. So, this is sthayi bhava. Bhava bhakti is defined as sthayi bhava. That is not something which is produced. By doing sadhana, what happens? It is revived. We also discussed the revived, which is there. But by the mercy of Krishna, which is actually its swarup shakti. That is why nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hidi sadhyata. So this is sadhana bhakti's definition. Let us see the commentary. It's a very important commentary. Let us go do it very carefully. Uttama bhakti has been described in a general way in the previous. When bhakti is cultivated, sadhya by actions, kriti of the senses is called sadhana bhakti. Kriti means senses. By actions of the senses. Action of the senses are included within the terms of bhakti in the same manner that preliminary purifying actions of performing sacrifice are included within the term of sacrifice. Technically, they are not part of sacrifice. Okay, let us see. Then somebody may say, why don't you just call bhava bhakti as bhakti? Why call sadhana bhakti as also bhakti? Question here is, for that, Jiva Goswami gives an answer. What is that answer? He says, this any sacrifice you do, there is something called Purvanga Kriya. You know what is Purvanga Kriya? Collecting the articles for the sacrifice, cleaning the place, taking bath, inviting the brahmanas, putting rangoli, bringing the fire, stabbing the kalash. You ask, what are you doing? I am cleaning. That is called Purvanga, preparation. Whatever precedes or whatever is the preparation for the sacrifice is also sacrifice. You cannot term it as something different. Like somebody you may see that he is just cleaning. He may be cleaning. But you cannot say he is just cleaning. No, he is sacrifice. Because if he doesn't clean, what will happen? Sacrifice cannot go. The same thing applies to deity worship. Whenever there is our confusion, when we think, oh, he is a pujari, what does that mean? We think, okay, he is a pujari. But the person who is cooking is not pujari. Person who is bringing funds to temple, he is also pujari. So, one who brings funds to temple, he is also pujari. How? I mean, so he is not pujari. He is practicing upadana. Upadana is one of the five aspects of puja. Upadana. The first one is Abhigamana, Upadana, Bhuta Shuddhi, Ijja and Swadhyaya. These are the five aspects of deity worship. Generally we think deity worship means just ring the bell and then do arati. No.
That is not deity worship. It's not deity worship is not limited to that. It is actually practically everything which happens in the temple is deity worship only, in one sense. Because if the bathroom is not clean, how will you prepare yourself to go to the go and worship the deities? So that is called abhigamanam, dressing yourself. That is also deity worship. So practically, deity worship includes many, many aspects. Buying sabji from the market. Is it not deity worship? That is upadana, means collecting articles for worship. So that point is spoken here. As much as, you see it again, as much as the term sacrifice includes all the purificatory actions for performing sacrifice, including the term sacrifice, though technically they are not part of sacrifice. In order to distinguish with this, sadhana bhakti from the bhakti that evolves in the right relations, Lord, the word sadhya bhava is used. Sadhana ends with the attainment of bhava. Sadhana is that by which bhava and prema are achieved. Bhava is not included in sadhana. However, sadhya rupa, a perfected form, is also bhakti, being part of it. The word sadhya bhava, or meaning in whose goal is bhava bhakti, but another meaning is achieving its goal. In any case, exclude other goals of human endeavors, artha, dharma, kama and moksha. This was already mentioned in the definition of uttama bhakti, which includes within it the present definition. A doubt may raise that since this state is achieved, implying that it is artificially produced, it is not the ultimate goal. Somebody may say, oh, by doing sadhana you got something. It means artificially produced. No. The second line responds. What is that? Nitya siddhasya. Responds to this doubt by saying that it is eternal and simply appears within the heart. That is because its appearance, but not its creation. You see yesterday the example given? Water. Pump and water. Sadhana bhakti is like putting water. So somebody may say, oh, you're creating water in the pump. No, no, no. There's already water in the pump. I want to get it out. That is why I have to put water from outside. It will be accomplished in the future by special actions of the most excellent transformation of Samvita Nāda Shakti, the Lord, the Swarup Shakti, which is all perfect and eternal. So this is how it is described. So later on, there are so many different examples given about what is sadhana bhakti, Vaidyan Raganuga, the distinction between Vaidyan Raganuga, and some of the angas we'll try to do in the evening session. I'll just give everybody off. What time you can come after your lunch? Yeah. Brahmachari class. I'll continue this only. That is only Brahmachari. Because 3 o'clock. Because I had to leave by say 4:30 I can leave. My train is at 6 o'clock. I can leave by 5 o'clock, and then we can leave. Okay? So we stop here and just give early off dhyan because it will be too much. Because we completed one section. Then Vaidhi, Raganuga and all these things comes. So distinction between them and we'll discuss after in the next session. 3 o'clock is okay? You got 2 hours break. You want to come early? I told under the guidance of the spiritual master, which will come later, because the first part of sadhana is what? First item of sadhana bhakti. Ado Guru Padashraya. And giving a commentary into that, it is explained that all the items, 64, other 63, is dependent on this. So this one includes all. So that is why it is added. Sometimes it is mentioned 3. Perform the senses, keeping bhava as the goal, and done under the spiritual master. So that is the reason. See, sometimes these things are spoken so that people have a very clear-cut idea. That's the reason. 3 things are there. This is the thing. Now you ask, you become clarified. You find only 2 things here. But the other thing is also there in one sense. Okay? Let's start. Hare Krishna.